You're listening to In the Right Mind with Chris Wright, a show that takes a deep dive into the human spirit, where we share stories of hardship and hope, told by people from all walks of life. Chris is a certified health and wellness professional and, like his guests, has overcome profound challenges to achieve success and happiness. Through them, we learn what it takes to live life in the right mind.
Brendan Kumarasamy, I greatly appreciate you doing this, and I am very excited to talk with you today about effective communication, why it's important, and why you got into, and I know the story is interesting as to why you got into being a coach of sorts for effective communication. Brendan is the founder of Master Talk, which if you haven't seen it yet, he's got an amazing YouTube channel, very good videos articulating the importance of communication, how to practice. He's got three tips that he gives people through his channel on how to become a more effective communicator. So if you don't already, please go and subscribe. It will be in the notes. It will also be in any links on social media that I post. But I want to jump right into it. And first of all, just say thank you for doing this, because this is something valuable to me.
Hey, Chris, the pleasure is absolutely mine. Thanks for having me, man.
Absolutely. I know that you had a very unique experience getting into, almost by mistake, getting into the coaching aspect of communication. So I'm interested in hearing the steps really from point A to point Z to where you are today and how you landed in this. I'm really curious about that.
For sure, Chris. So point A, to your point, see what I just did there, to your point. Anyways, so I went to business school for accounting, and my goal was never to be a content creator, a YouTuber, an entrepreneur. I came from a very conservative family. I'm the first person ever to graduate from university. So I just wanted to get a corporate job, which is what I did. So I studied accounting. But in that journey, Chris, I competed in these things called case competitions. Think of it like professional sports, but for nerds. So other guys my age are playing football or rugby or baseball. I wasn't one of those guys. I was doing presentations competitively. But I mostly did it to get that job in accounting. But then I just developed an unhealthy obsession with them. So as I got older, I started to coach a lot of the students, mostly for free, just to help them speak better so they could win competitions. And I didn't know how to coach either. I was just doing it as I went. I was kind of figuring it out. And I accidentally got really good at it. And that's what later led to Master Talk, the YouTube channel, because I felt that everything I was sharing with them wasn't really available for free on the internet. And here we are a few years later.
That's amazing. Congratulations on your success and being first to graduate university. That is which really fits into my mission and what I back and support, taking your success to the next level, despite what family members or the people around you have filled you in with within your environment, right? So there's a huge thing to be said. There's a notch in your belt for being able to do that. So congratulations on the success.
Thanks, man.
Going into the communication aspect and the story, I want to ask, why is communication so challenging for so many people?
Right. And the answer, Chris, because I also didn't have a great answer to when I started Best Talk, but hopefully I do now. If we think about it, it makes sense. Where do we learn how to communicate ideas? The answer is the education system, elementary school, high school, whether we grew up in the US, Canada, really any other country around the world, this is where we learn how to speak formally in front of a classroom, let's say in front of a group of people. But the problem is that all of those presentations have three fundamental challenges. The first one is they're all mandatory. So you don't wake up in the morning and say, hey, Chris, you want to get breakfast and present all day? Nobody says that. Number two, every presentation is tied to something you're not passionate about. So it's never, hey, Chris, what are you passionate about? Are you passionate about personal development, media, podcasting, hoodies, like nature? No, that's not how it works. You got to talk about Shakespeare and poetry. You don't really have a choice in the matter. So that's probably number two. And then the final one, which is actually the biggest one, Chris, is that every single presentation is tied to a bloody punishment. So if you don't do a great job, you get punished for it. Like you lose 25% of your grade and your dream of being a doctor or an engineer just kind of goes down the toilet. So what's the point here? The point is we grow up believing that communication is a chore, so it becomes one, and nobody wants to get better at doing the dishes.
It doesn't feel like it's a task from an educational perspective that is rewarded in a way that is constructive. That's something that I personally, as an individual who didn't have a good education, Brendan, you bring up a great point that the education piece is critical to the success of not only communication, but how you make decisions, how you live your life, and how you visualize the world around you. And for me, I didn't go to school a lot as I was growing up because I lived a crazy life and I was in and out of foster care and going through these different pieces of the system. And I didn't understand the importance of communicating effectively until I was in my late 20s, which leads me to my next question. Where does mental health fit in with the communication, a way to articulate how you feel about something? Why is that important? Or what are some steps that people can take to feel better or more confident about how they're articulating what's going on with them?
For sure, Chris. So I would say for the relationship between mental health and community, and thanks for sharing your story as well, is really around the idea of setting boundaries. That's a great place to start. So a lot of us, when we communicate, we're not really good at setting boundaries. So let's say me and you are roommates, and I would come up to you and say, hey man, I just need more alone time. You're going to look at me and say, what does that mean? Does that mean like you want to hide in a cave once a week? Does that mean you want to go into a dark cave for 3 months and not receive any texts? Does that mean an hour in the morning where you're just reading a book and you're not bothering me? Like, what does that actually look like and feel like? So because we don't have specificity in the way that we set boundaries, they never get respected. I think that's a big component of it. Versus going, let's say it's a significant other in this example, it would sound something like this. Hey, babe, I would really appreciate an hour in the morning just to myself to read a book because it helps me clear my mind and helps me go about my day. Would that be okay with you? Is there a way we can work together to achieve this goal together? So notice how the way that I'm communicating now, super specific, the why is in there, and it's also easy for you to communicate what you want. So how does that look like from the perspective of ourselves, Chris? That means one, writing down those boundaries on a piece of paper so it's easy for us to articulate our thoughts. Two, to pick the easiest one first, not the hard, not the, hey, I want to go to Paris for 6 months, not that one. We can leave that one for later, but just the hour book thing. That's easy. And then the third piece is to practice communicating boundaries with people who are actually opening to respecting them. Because obviously there's some people in our life that might not want to do that. And that's an easy, quick way for us not only to improve our mental health, but also to improve the specificity in how we communicate ideas in general.
That's great. That's very informative. What I heard in that as well is it's okay to be decisive and direct, because I don't think that there's one thing that I've noticed, at least here in the East Coast or the States and some parts of the U.S., specifically the West Coast, no hate against anybody who's living here on the West Coast, is that people can be very, what I would consider, passive aggressive and not clear with what their expectations and what they desire via that expectation that they're giving you. And as a result, it creates tension, it creates stress, it creates anxiety, and people don't understand what you actually want. And the same has applied in business. And one of the reasons I feel like I've been successful in business is because I am very, very direct. with what I need, how I work, and my expectations on being an employee. And that's the first topic of conversation that I have in an interview. So based on your experience, and you've worked with a lot of people, you have a following at this point, you're pushing out really good quality content. So I imagine that you've interfaced with a lot of different types of people. What are some really common hurdles that you're seeing within those people who are struggling to have those, to have the ability to set those proper expectations?
For sure, Chris. So two parts to that. One is, let's start, look, one quick nod I want to tie with the boundaries question, because you actually brought up a really good point about East versus West Coast, regardless of the person. I think you spot on with that. So one point around that. If you're uncomfortable communicating boundaries to other people, what I encourage your audience to think about, Chris, is why don't you start the conversation? So instead, go to somebody else and say, hey, I listened to this podcast with Chris and Brendan. I want to respect one of your boundaries. Let's work on this together for you, not for me. So what you're doing is you're opening them up a little bit. And they go, oh, like you want to give to me. So then they're going to do the exercise because it's for them, and you respect one of their boundaries. And then what's going to happen? They're going to flip it back on you. They're going to say, okay, what about you? Like, let me do something for you now. And that's an easy way to get the conversation started there. In terms of setting expectations, what I would say, Chris, the answer varies based on who we're talking to. But I'll use the example that you brought up around employees. I think for me, the biggest challenge that I see with people managing teams is not necessarily communicating expectations. I think the bigger challenge is to not reward good behavior. I think that's the biggest flaw I see in team management, where we're setting expectations, not perfect, right? Maybe we missed a few of the requirements, but what we're not doing with the employee is we're not empowering what they're doing right. So for example, I've been working with the same creative director since I started Mastalk, who's one of my good friends. And he's making a ton of mistakes in the deliverable since we started, like literally so many. It's ridiculous. But because you can see I'm a little bit angry as I'm speaking this, but because I'm rewarding the good behavior in what he's doing, now he's flawless. Like I literally, maybe I'll see one typo, he'll fix it in 5 minutes and there's no issues. And he's never quit. Not once, right? And we can't always fix everybody. Like we can turn a B into a B plus or an A minus into an A. It's really hard to turn a C into an A, okay? This is not possible. So what you want to do is two things. One is the reactive strategy where you're asking yourself, you start with you because you're the biggest bottleneck in the business or the org or the vision. It's the leader, right? That's what Tony Robbins says. What can you do better that you're not doing? And for sure, you're not rewarding good behavior enough. I don't see a single leader doing that enough. Like I'll give an example. How many business owners listening to this podcast have sent a 20-second video message to any of their employees wishing them happy holidays? They just sent a bottle of wine. Like it's ridiculous, right? So that's the one, right? It's like it takes a second. I'll give you a quick side on this because I think it's important. I had a CEO and he's managing 45 employees and I forced him to send a 20-second video. This is free. It doesn't cost any money. And he didn't want to do it because he was afraid. And I forced him to, or else I'd fire him. That's kind of how I work. So he sent him. And then the next day, people are crying, like tears of joy. Like, oh my God, the CEO. I'm like the janitor here. And he sent me like a video message. I haven't heard of a single person leaving his organization in like the last 12 months. It's ridiculous. And then the other piece is being proactive about the aces, the A players, and attracting them into your org.
They're so – I love this conversation, by the way. This is very engaging and a meaningful conversation at that. There is so much psychology involved, and you bring up a tremendously important point that the reward aspect or just the acknowledgement. So you take the wine and you take the video, and as an employee that works for a corporation, it is amazing when I receive personalized acknowledgement from people at my company, whether it's a director or a senior director. And I recently had somebody call me who is my boss's boss's boss. So I'm making sure I got that right. Who called me on my cell phone randomly. I didn't have his number saved. I picked up and he said, hey, this is so-and-so. And I just wanted to let you know that I think you're doing a really good job, and I wanted to personally congratulate you. That was the most satisfying phone call I've received from a corporate perspective in the last probably 10 years. That's all really important. And I know there's another piece to this, which you started to get into. And this is a question that I believe a lot of people will probably want the answer to. So when you're thinking about how, especially in a corporate environment, and whether it's mental health or just a hard situation in general, corporate politics is a monstrous issue in the workforce today. So just for context, one thing that I've continuously worked on in myself is, how do I strategically approach conversations? How do I plan it? And knowing when to say the right things. Is there a starting point that people who aren't as effective in that communication style that they can take into consideration, like writing down some notes or thinking a little bit before they do it or analyzing a situation based on body behavior? What are some tips that you have as somebody who excels in this category?
For sure, Chris. So two things. One is another jump on your previous point, which I loved, is why do you appreciate the phone call so much? The reason is more than the wine bottle, because the wine bottle costs more technically, unless you factor in the person's time but that it takes to call you. But I think the point that I want to drive is human beings value scarcity. We value things that we don't get enough of. So if we always get the wine bottle, even if it's a $200 bottle of wine, we don't value it as much if you get it all the time. Whereas the video message, it shocks you because most people have never received one in their entire careers. And that's a good feedback for all of us, especially as leaders, is don't think $50 personalized gift for everyone. You're better off getting a personalized $20 gift for everybody. It's cheaper and it's also more valuable to the end employee. Example, my top account. Okay, she's brought me multiple five figures in business. I bought her a $50 gift for Christmas, and she's going to love it because she loves Montreal bagels where I live. So I bought her a polo that just says Montreal bagels on it. She's going to freak out. Why? Because it's personalized to her. So I don't need to buy her like a $3,000 flat screen TV. She doesn't need it. She doesn't care. But what she cares is that I care about her. That's the most important, which I do, obviously. She's awesome. But that's the key. So yeah, it's personalization. Now, the other part to your question is expectation setting in a meeting, corporate politics. Couple of thoughts around this. The easy thing that I will always like to say, especially for people listening to podcasts, because if you're listening to podcasts, you're better than most employees. I'm just putting it out there. You're educating yourself. You're getting better.
100%.
Right? So the message is, remember that you only need two job offers, not 20, not 25, not 2 million. You need two job offers to have leverage in any organization. The job that you have and the job that you're being offered externally from the job that you have. That's it. So that means you have all the leverage if you're an A-grade employee. So what does that mean? The advice I give most of my clients are executive women. So for them, it's especially poignant. So I have them just, I'm like, okay, if you're the head of X program at Facebook, okay, go apply. And you're not being treated properly. Go apply to Amazon, Google, everyone. And they're just scared to do it. And then the next week, they have five job offers. And then we're just playing fetch with all five of them. And we just go, look, now I'm going to meet all of the directors at every company. I'm going to shake everyone's hand. And then I'm going to make a decision. And she has all the leverage. It's just people don't think that way because we don't value ourselves that much. And we need to increase that value that we hold for ourselves. That's the second piece. And then the last piece is, what do you do in the corporate meeting? Three questions. What's the goal? What's the contribution? And how do I communicate that contribution in a way that adds value to the stakeholders? So start with number one. What's the goal? You'll look at all your meetings this week, Chris, and you'll realize at least 10% of them, you don't really know what the goal is. So just kill those meetings. The second piece is, what's the contribution? Okay, the goal's clear. The meeting needs to happen. But now the next piece is like, why do I need to be in this meeting? Like, Julia can handle this. John can handle this. I don't need to be there. Kill that meeting. And then the third piece is, every Sunday, outline the 2 to 3 most important meetings of that specific week and only prep for those to make sure you're really, really good at conveying your ideas, like a promotional interview or something.
I love it. Hyper focusing on what's important. Absolutely. Because that's, especially in a scaling business, I work for a SaaS company, and there's areas that are ultra important for growth and revenue generation and, you know, longevity, really, in the tech market's crazy right now. So I absolutely love that piece. And I want to go back for a second just to say something kind of funny. Your point about your customized gift for your client is, and this is going back, and people listen. One thing that's been hard for me is I see a figure, a public figure, and let's say I don't necessarily like them, right? And so some of the stuff that comes out of their mouth, I look at, I say, ah, it's bullshit, right? So there's, you know, Gary Vaynerchuk is a good example. I hated Gary Vaynerchuk for the longest time. And it's because I went to the same high school as him, North Hunterdon, New Jersey, and him, his brother AJ, I think he was a year younger than me, so I saw him out about. But there was just this ego in me that said to myself, I'm just annoyed that he's a multimillionaire and I'm not, and we went to the same school. So letting ego aside, that's a whole different podcast in how to just be good with yourself. But one of the things he said a really long time ago, which always stuck with me, I didn't let him get in the way of this message, was that story about the wine customer who put a note in there that said he really liked that football team, and he ended up sending him the jersey, and that same person ordered thousands of dollars worth of the finest bourbon,
yep,
or some specialty bottle of wine. That is the power, as minuscule as it might seem in the moment, that one little handwritten note or that one little gift, that little bit of research that nobody else is doing, because they're not, let's be honest here, salespeople today are fucking lazy, aren't doing it, that one piece of gratification that person's going to receive, that note, that jersey, that signed football, that thing that might have cost you $40, could be your next $1 million fucking deal. And that is such a powerful message that, and I am victim of this, I just didn't always want to hear it because it wasn't coming out of my own mouth. So it's about letting go and hearing things and learning, which can be hard for people.
Hey, we all have that challenge, Chris. I mean, Gary Vee has been telling all of us to be on TikTok for 2.5 years, and I procrastinated for 2 of those years. I'd be way bigger if I just listened to him. And I'm a big fan of him, so I never even had that to begin with. So that's one piece.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's really the key, right, is we can all follow that key. And then the other piece that I think summarizes your thoughts and my thoughts well is something people can write down. Because this is purely selfish, because it helps benefit us and makes us win. And the quote is, if you communicate 20% better than your competition, you will stand out 100% of the time. Very simple. So I bought a stupid $7 Santa hat. We bought like 30 for the holidays, but I took one, I put it on my head, and I sent video messages to all of my top 50 clients just wishing them happy holidays. Takes me like nothing, no time at all. But I guarantee you, I'm the only speech coach on the planet who's doing that, right? And that's really the key. Same thing with my number one account. Why will she never leave me? Not because somebody else is going to beat me in coaching. Maybe somebody might have an even better service than me. It's because I'm the one who's sending the bagel shirt. I'm the one who knows her more than everyone else. So she wants to keep working with me. And it doesn't cost me anything. It just costs my attention. And that's attention most people aren't willing to give up. And that's why they lose to people like us.
You're offering the real value, and you've acknowledged that, and you've learned that. Everybody listening, if you haven't already, if you haven't figured out, Brendan is a killer communicator. He offers some phenomenal resources that you can use and leverage today, whether you're in sales, whether you're struggling with conversations with your loved ones or people around you. Make sure to check out his videos and go subscribe to his YouTube channel. Obviously, he fucked up and got rid of TikTok, so you can't follow him there, but for the record. And Brendan, it was an honor connecting with you today.
Hey, the pleasure is mine, Chris. I wish it was longer. My God, we should have booked an hour for this. It's so more fun.
I don't know.
This has been In the Right Mind with your host, Chris Wright. Join us again next Thursday for another illuminating and inspiring conversation. New episodes of In the Right Mind drop every Thursday. Subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform and never miss an episode. For updates and exclusive content, follow us on social media at Rights Mind. Sign up for our mailing list at rightsmind.com to get access to even more behind-the-scenes content, insights, and special offers. Thank you for being a part of our community and for supporting the mission of In the Right Mind. We're all on our own unique journey. It's important that we share our experiences and learn from each other. Until next time, stay curious, stay kind, and always keep your mind in the right place.